Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, excited to have a conversation that either of us have really discussed at length. So we were kind of going into this blind as far as what our viewpoint and what our thoughts are, but it's certainly a topic that is pertinent in the current discussion of the day, and that is star players participating in bowl games and what this looks like now, what our own thoughts are on it, and how this may evolve moving forward. So excited to get into this. I think we'll have a pretty frank discussion, authentic discussion that you may not hear from too many other places. And Bud, with that, let's get into a conversation that has very much come to prominence with the decision of Christian McCaffrey deciding not to take place in the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey this week, Leonard Fournette last week. I got to say, man, I think these guys are starting a trend, and I think it's a very smart trend. I know a lot of fans are not going to like this. Got to tell you up front, I don't care. These guys, this is really just a simple thing. College, if you are an elite prospect, and particularly an elite running back, this is a means to an end of getting to the NFL and trying to make as much money as you can playing the most dangerous sport out there for what is almost certainly going to be a very short career. Once you secure your draft position, be that first round, high second round, whatever, once you become like a top 50 pick lock, stop playing for free. You are only risking your future and your family's future and your future family's future. It's just not smart to do it. Why would you risk getting the McGahee injury in a bowl game or the Jalen Smith injury? You know, hell, the remember the kid from Notre Dame last year was likely a top five pick.
Absolutely.
Now he might not ever play football again due to that devastating knee injury he suffered in what is basically a meaningless Fiesta Bowl. Now, there are some nuance to this, and I don't think it's going to become as big of a trend as people think, but we can get into this. I kind of want to know, maybe you disagree with me on this. We've not actually had a chance to talk. What do you think? Would you play in a bowl game if you had already basically secured your draft position?
No, I wouldn't, and I got a little bit of heat from the fan base a couple weeks ago. I alluded to this with Dalvin Cook. I said that I need him for the Florida game, and after that, if he wants to take it to Atlanta or Phoenix or wherever he chooses to go for his combine prep, then by all means, I wouldn't do it. You know, it's for a lot of the reasons that you just listed, and it's like when you decide that that's what you ultimately want to do and set out to do, which really is what a lot of people go to college for in general, and you've secured that, then there's no reason to risk that anymore. I mean, if you were a world-class surgeon, I don't know that if once you secured your residency to a top hospital that you'd continue to do an activity for free that could jeopardize that ability to have that livelihood and have that existence. I think it's interesting with McCaffrey because it's not like that's not a kid that's from Southwest Atlanta or, you know, Baltimore, Maryland or Miami, Florida, who some impoverished neighborhood where he's like the only chance. I mean, that's a kid who comes from a very stable and healthy background and is making the same decision that a lot of other prospects are. So it's not even necessarily like socioeconomic monopolized. It's something that I think is becoming more and more clear for athletes, and I don't think it's a trend that we're going to see going in any other direction other than it becoming more prevalent and more prominent and more just more the norm.
Exactly right. And you know what Christian McCaffrey has, though? He has a dad who's a professional athlete who realizes that you should not play for free. And people are going to be like, they're not playing for free to get education. Miss me with that nonsense, all right? They are making pennies on the dollar for what their value is. They are not students first. They are forced to play to reach the NFL into a monopolistic system that was unfortunately upheld by the courts that basically robs them of three of their most profitable years of their career, especially if they're running backs, because 18-year-old Dalvin Cook would get run in the NFL. He would play. He would make millions of dollars at 18, especially at the running back position. That they're not obligated to play in the bowl game due to their scholarships. None of that is true. And they are basically playing for free at enormous risk with very little reward. It just doesn't make logical sense to do it. Should Dalvin Cook play in the Orange Bowl? I'm going to say hell no. I don't think that would help his draft stock at all to do it. People are like, what if he lights up Michigan? He's already had, what, like 4,000 or 5,000 yards?
There's nothing Dalvin tape. Yeah. There's nothing Dalvin Cook can put on tape that's going to change his draft stat. And there's not.
Now, will he play? I think so because it's the Orange Bowl, which is in his hometown of Miami, and because it's a New Year's Six game. Fournette and McCaffrey skipped, the Belk Bowl or some? I don't know where LSU and Louisville are playing. And McCaffrey was skipped the Sun Bowl, which is in El Paso.
Stole his El Paso / Juarez experience, which I'm sure is really bothering him.
Personally, I would not draw a distinction. Like, I'm not playing in that. But as far as it becoming a trend, I do think it's limited by one thing here. While I believe this is going to become as accepted as leaving college early to go pro is, like, remember, I went back and we're going to write an article on this on SB Nation. I went back and I looked up articles from the 1980s in Google Archives, outrage of people about kids leaving early to go pro, right?
Right.
And there's a pretty good op-ed in the New York Times from Joe Paterno, and he correctly identified that these kids are essentially playing for free, and there are a certain number of them that really should go play professional ball, you know? I think that the great limiting factor here, although I do believe that in a couple of years this will just be expected and commonplace, is that there's only a certain number of first-round draft locks, right, or early-round pick locks. Other people are going to see bowl games as an opportunity to actually increase their draft stock. You know, guys who did not maybe have the best season but still have interest in going pro early or going pro after senior year, they may need to play in those bowl games. So I don't think this is going to be a thing where, you know, we have 150 kids do this. I think in the coming years we might have maybe 15 or 20 a year or something like that decide, look, this is not in my best interest. But I do think that's coming. And it'll just take time for people to realize, just like they did with kids leaving, you know, and skipping their senior years. Although some people still don't get that for some reason. But this is not going to be quite as widespread a trend as that, because there's just it's more applicable to the kids who have locked up their draft positions.
I agree with you in part. I think we may see a little bit of a surge at first as people try to kind of figure this out. I think maybe it'll come back and normalize to a level. But you know how we used to see, like, way too many kids out of high school declare for the league, and then that kind of sorted itself out as you had
in the NBA, you mean?
Right, and I'm talking NBA. Yeah. As people didn't make rosters and more or less kind of left themselves in a non-desirable position. I think you may see more kids at first start to do this. I think I'm a little concerned that this may become a larger trend than you are, but I don't think you can fault the kid at all. I do think you bring up a good point as far as kind of the class of player, and particularly that there may still be more participating than I'm initially thinking, because you have those who view the bowl game as a chance to elevate their stock. But you know, there's always a different, there's very much a tiered prospect ranking as you start to get to this point in the season. There's the kids that can shut it down. There's the kids who need to go to Mobile and have a good Senior Bowl. There's, you know, there's different opportunities out there, and I think you're right to bring that up. But I do think that this is something that's going to grow, and may next year may be the first year where you really see, you know, maybe one or two prospects, a program who start to look at the bowl game and just decide to shut it down after the end of the regular season.
Also, I want to make it very clear. There's no way to stop this. People have said, well, if you paid the players, this wouldn't happen. No, I disagree. No. I think that payer – do you think that Leonard Fournette would be like, yeah, guess what? I better get that game check for the bowl game. No.
There's no amount of money that you can give Dalvin Cook to potentially miss out on an NFL contract. There's no amount of money. Unless you're looking at stroking $8 or $9 million. I mean, unless you're looking at a number that's just preposterous. So, No, you can't pay your way out of this situation.
And if NFL teams cared and it actually like would affect your draft stock, they're always not a teammate. But they don't, because NFL teams realize that you just played three seasons for free. And they realize what an amazing steal that is for the NFL, that they don't have to pay those player development costs. Like, they're not free like Major League Baseball. Yeah, it's absolutely a free minor league system. That is one of the primary reasons the NFL is so profitable. Their player development costs are zero. They don't pay to develop you, unlike baseball, which, you know, has thousands upon thousands of minor league players. Mm-hmm. That means you don't have to pay their salaries. You also don't have to pay their coaches for their development facilities, and you don't have to pay for their health insurance, which is which is a crazy cost.
It's really remarkable.
By NFL standards.
You're right. Consider that with soccer clubs who get kids on the roster at the age of 12, 13, and 14. Now, that's a whole other discussion. But just think about the development system that we have in this country and how polished a product that the NFL gets. And they have sunk nary a penny into their development, into some of the costs that are associated with it. So I think that's a great point and a great reference that you can look both domestically and internationally as far as a significant advantage that the NFL's business model has.
So I have this one guy blocked on Twitter, right? But he continues to tweet at me, and occasionally I'll look to see if he's still doing it, which means I think he actually has to pull me up in like Google Incognito to see me like when I'm tweeting, and then switch back into his regular Twitter account to tweet at me, which I don't respond to because I haven't blocked. But he kept insisting last night that NFL teams are not going to draft these guys. That is just total nonsense, all right? In fact, if I'm an NFL team, I would prefer that you do this. I want you to have less hits on your body. I want you to be fresher. Everybody's body only has a finite number of hits it can take. Why do I want to increase that number by 20 or 30 against an elite-level defense if I'm an NFL team, especially if I'm looking at you as a running back? So if I'm an NFL team, guess what? I understand this is a business. I'm actually kind of glad that you get it's a business. All right. Yeah. Do I want you to sell out for me? Yeah. But there's a key difference between selling out for me, NFL team, and selling out for college team. And the difference is millions of dollars, as in the millions of dollars I am paying you as opposed to the $0 you're getting paid in college. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you think... Well, first of all, how long do you think it'll take before this is pretty widely accepted?
Widely accepted? I don't know. I mean, I do
like
think
before coaches stop like railing against this, because you know there's going to be blowback from these coaches who are going to be hypocritical as hell. But nowadays, you don't really see coaches getting mad about players leaving early. It's just sort of an accepted thing.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole. I don't think it'll be more than 1 or 2 years. But I think this is going to become commonplace at a pretty accelerated rate, to be honest.
I agree with you there. It's because I think of the small number of players that are going to do this and because of how huge of a hypocrite. Like, let's say Dalvin Cook decided to skip this ball game, which I don't think he's going to do, or Fournette or McCaffrey, and the coach came out. The coach is making $5 million, came out and was talking about how he abandoned his teammates and all that utter nonsense. By the way, the teammates at LSU and Stanford – support the decisions. Mm-hmm. A lot of them come from impoverished backgrounds. They understand that when you see that finish line and you're way out ahead of the pack, you don't need to sprint through it, right? You can just safely cross it. They get it. These coaches deep down get it, but they, you know, are self-interested, of course. So they have to try and get these kids to stay. Ingram, when Tom Herman left Houston for Texas, did you hear a bunch of people bitching that he had abandoned Houston and wouldn't coach their bowl game?
No, I did not hear that, other than some some people from the Houston side of things. But no, that's not a I don't think you can criticize the coach but not criticize the player, or vice versa.
Right. It's hypocritical to do one and not the other. And I think it's incredibly wrong to criticize the player while being okay with the coach, because the coach was already getting paid at his former institution. You know, people are like, well, he's already in his career and the other guy is not. That's not true. They're both in their careers. One is just making pennies on the dollar and is now stopping doing the incredibly dangerous, risky activity for pennies on the dollar, because he is very soon going to have, assuming he is healthy, the opportunity to make millions as opposed to pennies on the dollar. The other thing I think you want to shoot down here is the insurance idea. I know Danny Cannell brought this up on Twitter. It's a bad argument. Jalen Smith, yeah, he made $4 million on his insurance policy. He would have made $25 million guaranteed had he skipped the Fiesta Bowl. That's not even including any sort of endorsements he would get. That's not including his second contract, potentially, that he would, you know, potentially get. And now he's very possible never going to play football again. The Cowboys drafted him kind of as a PR move, taking a long shot on the kid. But, man, it's just not worth it. And I really hope, if Dalvin plays, man, that he does not get hurt. You know, not knock on wood, man. I hate to see people do this. And let me ask you this. Do you think that there will be a line drawn where there'll be enough pressure on kids that they play New Year's Six games and or playoff games? Do you see a difference between New Year's Six and playoff? Do you think the playoff has sort of diminished any sort of bowl game now?
Yeah, as far as these elite kids still participating, I think it's playoff or nothing. Now, Dalvin may be a little bit of an outlier because of the location of the game, or just the fact that Dalvin Cook has been incredibly program focused to be as talented as he is. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be any interest in a lot of these players playing in any game that doesn't ultimately have the playoff attached to it.
Do you? I think I agree with you there. These New Year's Six games are exhibitions. Let me ask you this. How soon do you think it will be before somebody skips a playoff game?
Yeah, that is the real mark in time, bud, isn't it? Because at that point, you're removing yourself from the college season, where very much what you start the year and your goals are designed or oriented around. So that is a significant change of events for me. Man, it's hard to say exactly, but I would be surprised if we didn't see that happen in the next 2 years, to be honest. I think it's going to become almost commonplace as soon as next year for any bowl game that's not tied to the playoffs. So hypothetically, University of Georgia just had a bunch of kids return for their senior year. And say Georgia goes to the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville. I would be shocked to see like Nick Chubb as a senior or some of the other players on that team participate in that bowl. So I think we're going to see a really accelerated implementation of this in the non-playoff games, and the real mark in time or the real departure from that is when somebody decides to sit out a playoff game. And if you're asking me for a prediction on when that occurs, I think maybe we see that in the next 2 years.
I think I agree. However, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on a kid that does that, man. A lot of pressure. And it's going to have to be somebody with a strong support system, you know, a strong agent. And I think, like, the Nick Chubb thing you mentioned would be a great example because he plays running back. The position
he's already sustained a significant injury.
Right. Having the previous injury thing, I think, really would help kind of break that barrier down. Additionally, I think that it might be done by faking an injury, right? Or over-exaggerating an existing injury. Let me ask you this. Do you think we're going to get to a point where kids basically sit out like the second half of their senior seasons?
Right, exactly. So that's the real thing here.
Like after Clemson, let's say if Dalvin had done that, I couldn't blame him. I think it'd probably be the right financial move. He didn't do it.
And that's the thing. If we start to do that, Bud, what's to keep Dalvin from shutting it down the moment UNC hits that field goal? You know, I mean,
nothing, assuming that he thinks his tape is good enough. And I don't think NFL teams would blame him.
Right. So that is my concern here, is how much this bleed. I don't have any problem with kids not participating in a stupid bowl game. I mean, and this is a whole different discussion, but some of my biggest frustrations with the recruiting world right now is not that these kids are getting paid as I think they should in almost every instance, but a lot of times kind of the money is getting further and further away from these kids and their families as far as who gets involved. And that's a whole nother discussion for another podcast, but these kids get so little and have so little control a lot of times over the stuff that's flying around and circles their life, that I wouldn't blame them at all. And I think it's just human nature that if you start to introduce this into the equation of not playing into the bowl game, well, if I'm not going to play in the bowl game, then maybe I should just go ahead and shut it down at the end of October or something like that. So that is something that I'm concerned about. And you're right. Maybe it first introduces itself in faking an injury. Maybe it introduces itself in somebody who pulls a hamstring in week 6 and technically could return for week 9 or 10, but just decides to be like, you know what, I had my scare. I'm shutting it down. Going to be completely healthy and not risk introducing that into the element of those that grade my draft stock again. So that is, for me, the real question is to how much this bleeds into the season in which these guys make that decision. Bud, want to, as always, thank our sponsors. Louisiana Hot Sauce has been a fantastic addition to the podcast, has helped us immensely with the consistency in which we can bring product, and has taken a big step forward as far as the quality of product that we can bring as well. So I want to thank them, as we do always. It's a product that you and I are legitimate consumers of and have a authentic excitement about. And also want to thank the listeners. We've had some incredible feedback, not just feedback that, hey, I purchased it or hey, I bought it, but feedback with us and Louisiana Hot Sauces. Hey, I've got family in town and this is what I cooked, with pictures and stuff like that. It's just, it's worked out really well so far for all parties involved, and want to particularly thank the listeners for as interactive as they've been. And just from a selfish standpoint, it's pretty cool to see some of the dishes that people make and the implementation and how they use Louisiana hot sauce.
I think I might have a possible solution for this, but it's definitely going to cost the schools. You would have to get an insurance company to write you a deal based on essentially one game of risk, right? For like $25 or $30 million for these guys, enough to where they're like, all right, if I actually got the Jalen Smith injury, my family and my grandkids are still set for life. You know, that now I don't know what the premium would be on that. I think that's sort of like, you know, the schools couldn't pay these kids enough. No, but they could pay a pretty outrageous insurance premium to make sure that their kids played the bowl game, you know? And I think you could go to a kid like that. Like, if you were to go to Fournette, okay, and maybe Fournette's different because he was hurt this year, and he, you know, if he doesn't want to re-injure the ankle and be unable to do combine stuff or pro day stuff. But do you think if you went to Leonard Fournette and you said, hey, Leonard, we are offering to pay we are offering to pay for an insurance policy one game to where if you sustain a career ending or serious injury, $30 million to you, or $20 million guaranteed to you. Do you think that would do it?
I think it would. I would think that would be the type of thing that you would have to introduce to these kids to keep them engaged and fully committed to it. So
I'm not doing it for $4 million. $4 million policy? Hell no.
No, thank you. So basically, this could potentially be a huge surge of business for Lloyd's of London or something like that. Anybody who's willing to like write up a creative insurance policy and look at projected and potential earnings. But Yeah, it's going to have to be a significant number and have to be a number that I think you keyed on correctly, a generationally changing number, something that these kids could legitimately look at and say, you know what, worst case scenario, I'm still taken care of, and the amount of value that I had prior to the game is at least in some way represented on the back end if things did go catastrophically wrong.
So I got a lot of feedback yesterday on Twitter, and it was people saying, hey, man, this happens. It basically like shows like college football doesn't matter.
I mean, there's an element to that, certainly, but there's like, yeah, it shows that college football doesn't matter. To a lot of these kids, you know, they're not nearly as emotionally invested in the gold jersey with or the garnet jersey with the gold helmet as we are. I mean, it's just a different thing that people look at, and it's much more an avenue to an existence than an emotional investment in you know, playing for Florida State or Tennessee or UGA or whatever school you want to associate with.
You know, for most players, good number of players, college is a pretty good deal. But we've said this before on this show, and it holds true. For the best players, college is an absolutely terrible deal. Horrible. I mean, you're talking about passing on tens of millions of dollars of missed earnings per year. Like, for instance, how much money do you think Dalvin Cook has earned Florida State in his 3 years? Like, $225 million? $20 million?
I don't think you have any problem saying north of $20 million. I mean, if you look at what he's done, some of the games that he's been directly responsible for bringing to Tallahassee, how many 8 o'clock Saturday night games you've had in large part due to Dalvin Cook, the 2014 season. I mean, how big is his effort against Louisville and other teams as far as keeping Florida State at a place where they were, and some of the money that's brought in from a playoff appearance. So
three close wins over Miami. I mean, okay, how many games above replace, or how many wins above replacement has Dalvin Cook been worth to Florida State, do you think? Like, and the question is this: if Dalvin Cook hadn't played in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. right, how many more games would FSU have lost?
I don't have any problem putting that number around 1.5 to a season.
I was thinking 3 or 4 total, but damn, that is, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't have any. I mean, so basically, if you take 1.5, I'm at 4.5. But I have no problem saying 6 games over the course of his 3 year. I really don't, man. I mean, when you look at 2014 Louisville, when you look at 2014 Florida,
2014 Miami,
you can go back and look. Damn near every time they play Miami. I don't think that's a ridiculous number. I really don't, and I'm not one to slap a huge number on WAR, but that's my personal opinion, and I'd be more than happy to go back and really look at individual games where I could assign that. But just off the top, I would say 1.5 to 2 games a year.
Do you think that? Okay, let me ask you this: would you, for the last 3 years, just on field coaching, would you rather have had Dalvin Cook and Will Muschamp coach Florida State, or no Dalvin, but you get Jimbo Fisher? Because I think the answer is higher if you have Dalvin and Will Muschamp than take away Dalvin and keep Jimbo.
For reasons of argument, I would prefer to have a different coach there than Muschamp.
I was just trying to think of example of a bad coach.
Exactly.
I mean, Dalvin has been more valuable than Jimbo Fisher over the last 3 years, my point. Jimbo exactly. Fisher is your $5 million coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's earned $15 million over the last 3 years.
Completely agree.
Dalvin has earned zero. I think that's probably the end of this.
The end of it. I had somebody ask me on Twitter yesterday if Florida State had ever had a kid sustain an injury when he was going to otherwise go pro. It's been a while, but I can tell you one player in particular. What were you saying?
Crow Thorpe got hurt against, Georgia Tech close to the end of the season? Mm.
But in a bowl game in particular was what they were asking.
Oh, God, I'm trying to think. I know you got one. You have to.
Yeah, it's been 20 years, but it's Sam Cowart in the Orange Bowl against Miami.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was going to declare, was probably going to be a top 15 pick, sits out all of the 96 season, red shirts, comes back at 97, is one of the best linebackers in the country. But, you know, that's kind of the exception. I think more you find a guy, you know, unfortunately, maybe what you see with Jalen Smith there. But, yeah, that's the most recent example for Florida State that I can think of. There may be another one, but that's certainly the one that I can think of that involves like a first-round talent. Cowart, I don't want to derail us too much, but Cowart's nickname as a freshman when he got to Florida State was NFL, because that's where he was obviously projected. And when that is your nickname at Florida State, when you're 1993, 1994, and you're examining that roster, then yeah, you must have been one hell of a prospect for that to be the case. So fortunately, not a whole lot of examples to that you can find in this program from immediate memory, and knock on wood, like you said, this is not something that we're talking about post-Orange Bowl, but it is a conversation that's only going to grow in importance in college football, and I think it's something that starting next year, if you don't have names that you add to this year, which I expect you might have one or two more decide this, but next year I think is the first year where you really see kids just decide thanks but no thanks when it comes to the bowl game.
Yeah, I think next year we may have in conversation with Derwin James, who had a knee injury, missed a lot of this year. All right, Ingram, it's time to pay some more bills here. And that means it's time to talk about Madison Social. Madison Social, our longest-running sponsor and faithful Knollcast listeners there with Matt and the For the Table group, doing some great restaurant concepts in College Town with Madso, Central, and Township. And today, Madso Cakes and Pies. And in fact, if you go to madisonsocial.com/cakes-and-pies, that's cakes-and-pies, and you order by December 21st, you can pick up on December 23rd. And they have three pretty cool options I'm about to tell you about. They have a Coca-Cola cake, which, hell, that sounds really good.
That sounds really good. Yep.
Mama's Peanut Butter Pie, which is the one I've seen the actual picture of. Again, that does sound really nice.
I've talked to two people who've experienced that one, and it's thumbs up, definitely.
And this one I've not had, but it's I think it's hard to mess this up, so I'm going to assume it is pretty good. Biggie T's favorite chocolate cake as well. So three options. If you're in Tallahassee, you're looking to pick up a cake or a pie, just order by the 21st. We know that our subscribers are going to get this podcast most likely on the 20th, so you're going to have about 48 hours to do so. It's a timely advertisement here. And when you go there to pick it up, you can also try one of their many Christmas or winter lagers at their offering. I know they just put out three more. They have the New Belgium Accumulation. They have Tensel. And then they also have, you like Shinerbach out of Texas?
It's good. I don't necessarily love it like some people do, but it's a good beer. It is.
They got a Shinerbach Holiday Cheer. I think the first time I drank Shinerbach, I was in Waco, Texas. Drank a couple Shinerbachs. interesting beer, but I've not had the Shinerbach Cheer. I have had the Accumulation and the Tensel, and they actually are having a December challenge where you got to complete the December challenge, drink all these holiday beers. You like holiday beers?
I like seasonal beers to an extent. I do. I like some of the Oktoberfest that come out in the fall. But I'm not a huge beer guy, to be honest. But I do enjoy some of the seasonality and some of the novelty surrounding them. I do.
You know, the one thing I think that sometimes they overdo it on this, and that's why I'm glad Madso has good quality control. Abita last year or 2 years ago, they had their like Christmassy one, and it just it felt like I was drinking the sap of a cedar tree. You know, or a pine tree. It was just not good. These look pretty good, and I've actually had two of them, so go check those out at Madso. Go order your cake and pie from Madso. And, you know, Ingram, I think I'll close on this. Let's say that you were an NFL receiver, right, and you're on your rookie contract, and you finally make the Pro Bowl, and next year you are a free agent. You going to play in that Pro Bowl?
Yeah, not a chance. Not a snowball's chance in hell.
I'm going to take the trip to Hawaii and then, oh, my ankle. Oh, man. Can't play today. Sorry. I'm not doing it. It's just, it's logical to accept that much risk for a little reward. And I'm pro player, man. I root for the player over the jersey. And especially when you know where these kids come from. So thank you all for listening. As always, 5-star reviews on iTunes. We understand everybody might not like this episode, but okay. Trying to be honest with people. And subscribe to us, iTunes, Podcast Republic, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music. And if I didn't list what you like to listen to a podcast on, hit us up. We'll try to join that one as well. Take care, y'all. Have a Merry Christmas. Never slipping, that's how it is.
I'm leaning back, my elbows out the window. Coke, rum, and endo fills my body. Where's the party? We rode deep, we dipped to underground. Sees a lot of hoes around. I spit my game while waiting countdown.